Well, good morning, beloved. That's the word that the Bible describes us, the saints of God, the beloved of the Lord. And so we're going to call on Deacon Sullivan to open us in a very rousing prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you and praise you for allowing us to gather here, Lord. And this morning I ask a special prayer, Father, for the people in Hong Kong. We know most of them are not Christians, Lord, but they are looking to you and they are looking to us, and they are using some of our symbols and the things that America has held dear, Father. And they're calling out for freedom, Lord, and we ask that you help them so that they may know you. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Important prayer. Thank you for remembering them. Okay, forever. That's what the name of the song is. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever. Forever, from the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever, and by the grace of God will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. Are you ready to do some trading? Yeah, I like this kind of trading. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare to your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Days. Well, I'm sure you're all excited about the promise there, that your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. And I believe that's coming, and I believe that's true, no matter what we see in the news. In fact, maybe the news confirms it to us. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, oh, I'll never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended, in the presence of the King. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended, in the presence of the King. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach Heaven's joys, O bright Heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. You know, these songs I always find very interesting, to say the least. And of course, it's interesting in the verse that says, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art Thou my best thought by day or by night. Hallelujah. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. And of course, it's interesting that in the New Jerusalem of God, Jesus Christ is the light. You know, we think of the sun like we're looking out on a beautiful sunny day today here in New England. But think about this, Jesus outshines the sun, that in his presence, I mean, literally and figuratively, there is light, because he is light. Well, I want to read you an interesting situation. Of course, we have with us today people who live in Maine. And of course, we're just across the border from Maine. On Monday, we spent a little time up there ourselves, in the great state of Maine. And regardless of the politics that have now started to happen there, Maine is a great state. So this headline, jury votes against preacher sued by state over loud preaching outside Maine Planned Parenthood. In Portland, Maine, a jury deciding a civil case in Maine has ruled that a church elder broke the law in 2015 when, after a police warning, his voice could still be heard inside of a Planned Parenthood facility as he pleaded with the mothers not to have their unborn children murdered. According to the Portland Press-Herald, a jury of 8 men and 1 woman voted 6-3 that Brian Ingalls of the church cell 53 in Lewiston had violated the state's Civil Rights Act in his preaching, and pro-life pleas could allegedly be heard inside the counseling rooms and waiting areas of Portland Planned Parenthood in October 2015. As previously reported, then Attorney General Janet Mills sued Ingalls a month following the incident, alleging that he spoke too loudly about murdering babies, aborted babies' blood, and Jesus while preaching outside the location. She asserted that Ingalls didn't lower his voice enough that particular day after being approached by the police, and contended that his passionate preaching demonstrated his intent to interfere with the safe and effective delivery of health services at Planned Parenthood. All patients have the right to receive medical services free of the cacophony of political protests, in the words of the United States Supreme Court, she wrote in a statement. While protesters have every right to say anything they want in a public area in the vicinity of a medical facility, they are not permitted to disrupt another's citizens' health care services. Ingalls obtained legal representation from the Thomas More Law Center, a pro-life organization headquartered in Illinois. For reasons that can only be described as politically motivated, the Attorney General has transformed and verified noise complaint by Planned Parenthood into a civil rights complaint against a young Christian pro-life advocate. It said in a statement, the Attorney General's actions in this case are a blatant abuse of her powers to aid the pro-abortion political establishment dominating the city of Portland. Mills, who's a Democrat, who has since been elected governor of Maine, proposed that Ingalls should be prohibited from standing within 50 feet of the Monument Square Planned Parenthood facility or any Planned Parenthood location in Maine. She also recommended that he be fined $5,000 for the violation. The Maine Civil Rights Act itself was challenged in court by Ingalls pastor Andrew March, who likewise preaches outside of the Portland Planned Parenthood. The law says that after receiving a warning, it is illegal for a person to intentionally interfere with a medical procedure in an abortion facility. According to March and Thomas More Law Center, police have confronted March and others to advise them that their voices could be heard by staff and clients inside the facility, and told them to keep it down. But officers reportedly did nothing when those in favor of Planned Parenthood would likewise be heard inside of the building. In May 2016, U.S. District Judge Nancy Torreson, appointed to the bench by Barack Obama, sided with March, opining that the intent to interview portion or interfere portion of the law would pertain to the content of the speech and would therefore only relate to pro-life speech, which would consequently be an unconstitutional content-based restriction. Continued enforcement of a content-based restriction on speech would result in irreparable harm to the plaintiff, Torreson ruled. She said that there are other ways to keep order on public sidewalk, as police can further their interests of maintaining order and protecting individual patients through the criminal code, most obviously the disorderly conduct and harassment statutes. However, in August 2017, the First Circuit Court of Appeals, of course is in Boston, overturned Torreson's ruling, stated that they rather found the law to be content neutral and that it does not ban abortion opponents from conversing with others as opposed to lifting up one's voice to preach, if in doing so the person's voice can be heard inside the building. The case was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which declined to take up the matter. The High Court accepts only a small fraction of the appeals it receives. Following the Andrew March ruling, Ingalls' case proceeded to court with a jury voting on the matter on Wednesday. According to the Portland Press Herald, Judge Mary Gay Kennedy must hear another legal challenge to the Civil Rights Act brought by Ingalls' attorneys before she can issue any orders pursuant to the Mills lawsuit. An undated video posted online shows an example of Ingalls' gospel-centered preaching. In the footage, Ingalls calls out a woman who appeared in a window, urging her to come down and talk to those who want to help her. "Don't continue in your sin," he exhorted. "Look to Jesus for forgiveness. Look to Jesus for reconciling you to the Father. That way the Father will actually wrap you in his embrace. Jesus left the embrace of the Father so that he would save you. That way you could actually experience true forgiveness. All that you're doing is running continuously towards self, towards self-satisfaction." As previously reported in early America, Christians were staunchly against abortion, seeing the shedding of innocent blood, Proverbs 6:16-17, and the discontinuance of a life created and given by God as murder. In his 1869 sermon entitled "Antenatal Infanticide," E. Frank Howe, the pastor of the Congregational Church of Terre Haute, Indiana, said, "It makes no matter that the victim cannot stretch out its hands in defense. It matters not that can utter to no cry of pain or reproach. The sacred gift of life is taken, is deliberately taken, and this constitutes the crime. That crime is murder." He lamented that the men and women, place their own ease and pleasure above God's law, and that public opinion is so corrupted that there is no voice of reproach, forthrightly declaring, "Put what face upon it the community will, disguise it under whatever name you please, you can make no more or less of it than simple murder." And of course, I, for one, have stood out in front of many abortion mills in Maine, in Massachusetts, in New Hampshire, in Las Vegas, Nevada, and said those very same things. I have not been arrested for it, but of course, as we see here, more and more the government is protecting the killing of babies. It's protecting Planned Parenthood, an evil organization all over the world with huge funds, and of course being supported by people like George Soros, for example. So we got a lot to do, folks. Well, today in my quips and quotes, which is one of my favorite things to deliver, "I think the best social program is a job." And that was said by our 40th president, Ronald Reagan. I have come to realize that the more I rely on Jesus, the more my life blossoms. For he is the ultimate support, who not only enables us to walk upright in this world, but also bestows upon us the righteousness to walk with him in the kingdom, in his kingdom. Laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man, and that was said by Cesar Beccaria. I actually quoted that scripture at the State House in hearings here in New Hampshire. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued, but when once they lose their virtue, then will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader, Samuel Adams, 1779. Here's a theology for everyday life. Being a biblical Christian doesn't just mean getting our theology straight. It also means getting our living straight. Christianity can be summarized as being about orthodoxy, that's what we believe, and orthopraxy, how we live what we believe. Getting our theology worked out is only half of the equation. Getting our theology into everyday lives is the other half. The rights of citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the palladium of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary power of rulers, and will generally, even if these are unsuccessful, or these are successful, in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them. Justice Joseph Story, 1833, and by the way, he was the president of the American Bible Society. Can you imagine that? A justice, Supreme Court justice. And he wrote lots of things that we really like to quote today. Hey, do you know about Rudyard Kipling and about his life? He lived through a lot of tragedy and hardship. He kept his gaze high and achieved literary greatness. He was the youngest man to receive the Nobel Prize in Literature. The following verse from his poem, If, no doubt contributed. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving moment with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more? You'll be a man, my son. The people are not to be disarmed of their weapons. They are left in full possession of them. Zachariah Johnson, 1788. Reading history convinces me that the most bad government results from too much government. Thomas Jefferson. What the dark side is exposed, you may be in for unexpected danger. We train for the worst and hope for the best. And by the way, complacency is a peril. If someone said something that would get to you, count, walk away, etc., do not let them rent space in your head. Take away the first part of love, etc., etc. As fallen, sinful human beings, we will always seek validation and permission for our wicked, sinful desires. Whew, that's a mouthful, huh? Well, if you'll take your Bibles in hand, please, We're going to look at several different scriptures today, beginning with Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. If you'll turn there, Jeremiah 23, read a couple of verses there. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 24. Actually, I'll begin at verse 23. So, Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Well, how long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesied lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? I'll stop reading there. You can make note of that. Now I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Hebrews, James, Peter, John. So 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 15. But in your hearts, this is 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 15, English Standard Version. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? And now we will look at Jude. Jude has no chapters, so we're looking at verse 17 through 19. Jude 17 through 19. John, Jude, and Revelation. See what happens when you learn a song like that? It sticks in your head. So, Jude 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is those who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So I would like to use as a theme today, it was actually a song, I believe in the 50s and 60s, I think it was, Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. So today, as we look at those scriptures in particular, where Jeremiah, the scriptures in Jeremiah has a promise to us that we have to remember that God is at hand. He is watching. And of course, the admonition that he gave to the Israelites, you know, you turned your back on me, you listened to lying prophets. Well, we have a lot of lying prophets these days. just the same as it was in that time. And what were they doing? Their lies, their dreams that they had, and so forth and so on. And there are people who are having dreams and expressing, I had this dream. Okay. Well, your dream doesn't match up with what Scripture says. And more importantly for all of us, we need to stay with what the Scriptures say. We need to stay with what the Scriptures mean. And of course, we need to have, as I stated in my quips and quotes, that we need to have not only orthodoxy, but we also need to have that other form, which is the word that I gave for that was orthopraxy. Orthodoxy, what we believe, and orthopraxy, how we live what we believe. So getting our theology worked out is only half the equation. Getting our theology into our lives is really what it's about. And of course, most people have that problem. We see it all the time. How do we translate our Orthodox beliefs? And I said orthodoxy, of course, doesn't mean Russian Orthodox Church or Greek Orthodox or Armenian Orthodox Church. Orthodoxy means the actual statements of Scripture. How do we live that out? James says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Now, why would the Lord have to say that? Because he's saying it through James, who's actually the Lord's half-brother, if you will. Why do you have to say that? And that's a letter to the church. It's not a letter to the world. It's a letter to the church. Be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so we say at the time that the Bible was written, there was still that problem. Does that problem still exist? Well, we know it still does exist. And so we need to be reminded there is nowhere to run and nowhere to hide, which, of course, is a good thing for all of us who are out in the open with our Christianity. And, of course, thinking about what happened there at Planned Parenthood, that I know the Ingalls and I know Pastor March and done these things myself. They're bringing the truth, what they believe in church, okay? Let's say they could stand up in church and tell the church people, and not everybody in church, not every Christian sitting in the church believes that abortion's wrong, and not everybody in the church that even believes that it's wrong has not had an abortion. We find out quite often that many of the people sitting there hearing the word are people that have had abortion. You notice I say people, because abortion doesn't just affect women. It also affects men. And I never realized that until many years ago. I was leading the March for Life at Concord in January, and a young man walked up to me. In fact, he just recently contacted me from Facebook. He's gotten married and moved down to Florida and has a new family. He said, how come nobody ministers to the men who are affected by abortion? I looked at him. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, let me give you an example. I have a girlfriend. I got her pregnant. I wanted to marry her and keep the baby. And she said, no, she wasn't going to marry me and she wasn't going to keep the baby. And she had an abortion. He said, don't I have some rights? Don't I have needs? And I said, you know, I have to confess to you, I never thought of it that way. I always was centered about, you know, the fact that abortion kills and abortion hurts women. But really, the sign, and I held that sign for years in the Walk for Life and everything else, I'd hold that sign, abortion hurts women. So I need to cross that out and put abortion hurts men and women, or women and men. So we're all hurt by abortion in one way or another. And so the idea, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. The Lord is at hand. He's watching. And of course, the issue is many people think that the things that they're doing, they're getting away with them, and that the Lord doesn't see that. And of course, they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes and so forth and so on. That's why it's so important that the Lord give us discernment in these days. And I've come to realize that the more I rely on Jesus, the more my life blossoms. So I suppose we'd say the less I try to run, the less I try to hide, the more I realize that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that I not only hear the word, but be a doer of the word, the more my life blossoms. And I actually, in my quips and quotes, which I rarely if ever do, put that as in bold type, just to remind me. I have come to realize the more I rely on Jesus, the more my life blossoms. And so when I say to somebody, do you want your life to blossom? It's like, I really enjoy flowers. And I really enjoy seeing the color of flowers. I just recently ordered a bag of, a 3-pound bag of earthworm castings, because they're very healthy for the flowers and gardens and whatever else. That, yes, those earthworms are not just for catching trout in the stream, you know, because they wiggle on the hook. They actually produce nitrogen castings, and the nitrogen castings actually worked in an antibiotic kind of way in killing aphids and pests that bother your garden and your plants. Isn't that amazing? So worm doo-doo is good, okay? Worm doo-doo is good. But the idea is, you know, I'm looking for a garden that blossoms even better and flowers that blossom even better. But how much more the Lord is looking for us to blossom. And of course, as the scriptures we read in 1 Peter identified, you can be sure that people are going to slander you the more, oh, you holy roller, you think you're so good and everything else. No, that's not what's being said. Okay, I have been forgiven also. You know, we need to remind the people, whatever that you're doing, I might have done that too. But I know I'm forgiven because I've asked the Lord to forgive me and he's full of forgiveness. But we're bound to be slandered by people. They're trying to get in our heads and rent some space there. And like I said, my quips and quotes, don't let anybody rent space in your head. You know, you may rent space for them, you know, in having a business or you know, housing or something like that. But don't let them rent space in your head, because the only space you got in your head that should be given over is the space that your mind is occupied on the things of the Lord and occupied on his word. For there really is nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And people need to understand that. You think you're getting away with this? You're not getting away with it. You think that you're hiding out as if nobody knows? Well, of course, we know that the scriptures say, be sure that a man's sin will find him out. And that, of course, I could probably preach a whole sermon on that, what that actually means. Be sure that a man's sin will find him out. Okay, because there are a lot of people covering things up of who they are and what they are. And as interesting as late of one of the Hillsong music leaders or worship leaders has just given up his faith in Christ. And of course, Joshua Harris, who wrote books on fidelity and marriage and all these kind of things, he's given up his life in Christ and gone over to the lesbian LGBTQI plus community and so forth and so on. So we think, okay, maybe when did this all start? When did this happen with these people? And one person said, you know, we really shouldn't have teenagers leading worship or something like that. Well, no, I couldn't agree with that. We need teenagers leading worship that are really dedicated to the Lord and not trying to hide anything. And so these men perhaps were hiding things for years. And now it's been exposed. And of course, we can be thankful, and we ask for the same thing in our government today. A lot of things are being exposed in our government. Are we surprised that our government is corrupt? No. Remember that our government system is not corrupt. It's the best government system in the world, next to the government of heaven, so to speak. But people within it are corrupt, and I'm praying that they will be exposed and expelled. And we replace them with better people. Not people that are just as bad as they, but You know, it's not a matter of what party or anything like that. So we keep in mind, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Of course, then again, why do you have to run if you've got nothing to hide? I've got nothing to hide, I don't have to run. This is it. And of course, even as the pastor and elder that were arrested because of being too loud preaching Jesus on the street at Planned Parenthood, they didn't have to run, they didn't have to hide, because they were doing what's right. And maybe if across this whole country more people would do what they're doing, we might see Planned Parenthood be history. And boy, would I like to see that. That they be gone. And of course, as we always say, we know that people are out there doing these things, but of course then after they've done them, we have to make sure they understand there is forgiveness. There's forgiveness. And there's grace through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Well, God our Father, we don't want to hide, but we do certainly want to rely on Jesus, and that our lives would blossom, because people always take note of a very healthy garden. They always take note of beautiful flowers. I'm reminded of how many places I've been that I wanted to go see an extraordinary garden that was well taken care of. It's always meant a lot to me. I've seen many of them in Portland, Oregon, and here in Rye, New Hampshire, and all kind of places, or Northampton, New Hampshire. I look for those places and go and see, now this is a really well cared for garden. Nothing hiding in this garden. All the weeds are gone and they've taken good care of it. You can see that the garden is blossoming. It's blossoming. And so we want that with our lives. And only you can do that for us if we'll allow you to do that. You don't force yourself on anybody. You give the invitation. And so we want to make sure that that invitation is received by the people we talk to. And of course, we know that some people aren't ready to receive that invitation. So Holy Spirit, please help us. Direct us to the people that are ready to receive. And for those that don't want to receive, we remind them, you got no place to run. You got no place to hide. The Lord knows. And we thank you as always in the name of our risen Savior. As we say in Greek, Christos Aresti. Jesus Christ is risen. How many days after Easter do we say that? We say it every day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.